Welcome to this new detailed edition of the BayPay Forum Blockchain News. My name is Cindy and today is November 6, 2019. This edition is brought to you by PayCademy, the first business academy to learn payments and fintech. If you have some news in payments and fintech, send it to us at press@baypayforum.com and we will do our best to include your news. In this edition, we will talk about Kim.com's planned token sale is off, says Bitfinex. North Korea set up a blockchain firm to launder cash, UN. Only one crypto fund has passed Hong Kong's SFC regulatory hurdles in first year. Chinese agency scraps plan to eliminate Bitcoin mining industry. BitHum wants user-created DEXs with its new blockchain ecosystem. Hong Kong regulator to treat some crypto exchanges like brokers. Nervous Network targets November launch with $72 million token sale. IBM ethical mineral sourcing blockchain to debut in spring. Binance to advise Ukraine government on upcoming crypto regulation. Party starters, stellar event sees frank discussion of crypto market makers. 93 Days Dark, 8chan coder explains how blockchain saved his troll forum. Now let's get started. Kim.com's planned token sale is off, says Bitfinex. Bitfinex and a blockchain project launched by Kim.com have mutually agreed to part ways, scuppering a planned initial exchange offering, IEO, for the controversial internet entrepreneur. Citing the current regulatory environment and the risks associated with raising funds for the project, Bitfinex said in a blog post Wednesday that it was in the interest of its community not to host the sale of .com's KimCoin token. .com was notably the founder of MegaUpload, a file-sharing site shut down in 2012 for violating piracy laws by the U.S. Department of Justice. He's currently still in the process of appealing extradition to the United States from New Zealand where he resides. The K.im project is a blockchain-based content monetization network, touted on its website as providing a comprehensive suite of advanced services and technologies to manage, protect and sell every digital content. The IEO model of fundraising emerged in 2019 and sees exchange platforms offering listing support and launch campaigns for new startup tokens. To date, Bitfinex has conducted token sales for projects Dusk, Ampleforth and Ultra, among others. North Korea set up a blockchain firm to launder cash, UN. North Korea has been using a Hong Kong-based blockchain company to launder money, according to a quarterly report from the UN Security Council's Sanctions Committee on North Korea. As reported by South Korean newspaper Chosun, North Korea employed a shipping and logistics firm called Marine China, which runs on a blockchain platform, to avoid international sanctions by laundering stolen cryptocurrency. The report claims a man named Julian Kim, under the alias Tony Walker, was the sole owner and investor in the firm, and had attempted to withdraw money from banks in Singapore on several occasions. As per Chosun, the UN claims the laundering scheme, which also involved another undisclosed individual linked to the firm, circulated the stolen crypto through upwards of 5,000 transactions in multiple countries to obfuscate its source. The report further states that North Korea has developed precision spear phishing attacks. Over the past 3 years, a previous UN report said, 17 countries have been targeted by its hacking experts resulting in over $2 billion in losses, a figure that regime has denied. Chosun adds that the report also notes the development of malicious code used to move stolen Bitcoin to a server located at Pyongyang's Kim Il-sung University. Severe sanctions against North Korea from the UN and other international bodies have pushed the country's regime towards cryptocurrencies over time. This September, Vice reported the country is developing its own cryptocurrency with properties similar to Bitcoin to sidestep international sanctions. Only one crypto fund has passed Hong Kong's SFC regulatory hurdles in first year. A year after the Hong Kong Securities and Futures Commission (SFC) published initial regulations for funds investing in crypto, only one firm has successfully passed that gauntlet. Hong Kong-based Diginex remains the sole crypto fund to pass the regulatory hurdles issued in November 2018 and formalized this October, according to research from Reuters. As CoinDesk reported at the time, the 2018 framework applied new regulations to any fund that invested 10% or more of its portfolio in virtual assets. The 37-page guidance issued last month adopts many standard practices held by funds overseen by the regulator already, such as capital reserves on hand. New rules include who can act as custodian for crypto assets, for example. Still, only one firm has cleared the SFC's hurdles to date, Reuters says, while other funds are moving out of Hong Kong to skirt the SFC. Many firms are also applying for approvals without the intention of receiving the license, but just for appearances, according to the Reuters research. However, outside factors remain for the low volume, including possible hangover from the crypto bear market that may be giving spurned funds second thoughts. The volatility and poor returns in 2018 scared large institutions away from allocating to crypto funds, causing those who survived to shelve their licensing plans. Jahan Chu, partner at Kinetic Capital, a venture capital firm focusing on digital assets, told Reuters. SFC declined to comment on both the process and pending applications, Reuters said. Chinese agency scraps plan to eliminate Bitcoin mining industry. More than 6 months after the China National Development and Reform Commission proposed to categorize Bitcoin mining as an industry to be phased out from the country, it appears the agency has now scrapped that plan. The National Development and Reform Commission, NDRC, a top-level economic planning agency under China's State Council, published a finalized new catalog for guiding industry restructuring on Wednesday that will take effect from January 1, 2020. In the final version, which will replace the current one published in 2011, the agency has removed Bitcoin mining or other virtual currency mining activities from the initially proposed category of industries that should be eliminated from China. Description related to virtual currency or Bitcoin mining can't be found in the finalized catalog. Formally established in 1998, the NDRC is now one of the 26 cabinet-level departments which altogether form the State Council of the Chinese Central Government. The main role of the NDRC focuses on studying and penning economic reform strategies and policies to be executed at local-level governments. The NDRC first published its industry reform catalog in 2005, grouping industrial sectors into three types: those the agency advises the country to encourage, restrict, or eliminate. The initial draft of the latest catalog update was released in April this year, which classified virtual currency mining, such as the production process of Bitcoin, under the category to be eliminated, recommending local governments to phase out Bitcoin mining from the country. That's estimated to account for half of Bitcoin's global hashing power. The move was taken at the time by many, including major news outlets, as a signal that China was planning to ban Bitcoin mining, even though the policy itself does not automatically mean a Bitcoin mining ban. The revision of the draft plan comes after a months-long period of public consultation. During a NDRC press conference on Wednesday, officials said since the release of the initial draft, the agency has received over 2,500 suggestions on various issues, most of which were taken into consideration, although the officials did not comment on any particular suggestion related to Bitcoin mining. BitHum wants user-created DEXs with its new blockchain ecosystem. South Korean crypto startup BitHum is launching an exchange as a service platform based on its new blockchain. Announced Wednesday, the exchange said BitHum Chain will allow users and developers to build decentralized finance (DeFi) applications on the open-source blockchain network, which it hopes will act as the backbone to a new financial ecosystem. The company is currently building out the network, with a testnet set to go live before the end of the year and a mainnet launch anticipated sometime next quarter. Javier Sim, co-founder and managing director of BitHum Global, told CoinDesk that the new blockchain will feature a revolutionary consensus model, referring to what the press release described as an OBFT hybrid consensus mechanism. However, he declined to share further details. BitHum representatives further told CoinDesk that the company is pursuing a patent around the mechanism, though the plan is to fully open source the code prior to 2020. They did say that the consensus algorithm would utilize verifiable random function, likening it to Algorand's protocol, and Byzantine fault tolerance. VRF is a system where a function verifies its own output publicly, while BFT refers to the Byzantine generals problem, in which one must reach consensus among disparate actors operating in a trustless environment. BFT ensures that the system will continue working even if some of the actors are working against it. With Bithum Chain, the company seeks to capitalize on their as-of-yet-unknown protocols with a variety of services, including Exchange as a Service, which would allow users to set up their own decentralized exchange. Bithum Chain could compete with other crypto exchanges' custom chains, Sim said. Binance Chain, Binance's own public blockchain, launched in April 2019, and is now home to its BNB token and Binance DEX, a decentralized exchange. Bithum's news comes days after the Korea Times reported that entertainment group IOK is moving to acquire a major stake in the exchange. IOK is looking to convert a bond in Bithum's largest shareholder, Vedante, by next year. Hong Kong regulator to treat some crypto exchanges like brokers. Hong Kong's securities watchdog is to treat cryptocurrency trading platforms like traditional brokers if they offer security tokens, according to its second round of regulatory guidance for the industry. The Securities and Futures Commission (SFC) released its position paper on virtual asset exchanges Wednesday, announcing a new licensing scheme that it said is not dissimilar from the one applied to Hong Kong's security brokers and automated trading venues. Any virtual asset firm trading at least one security token falls under the regulator's purview. Applications for peer-to-peer P2P exchanges such as decentralized exchanges (DEX) or non-custodial trade platforms will not be reviewed by the SFC. Under the new licensing conditions, regulated crypto exchanges can only offer products to professional investors as defined by the SFC. Firms may also only alter products or services following approval by the regulator and must have an existing relationship with an independent auditing firm, filing annual reports on exchange activities. Exchanges must further file monthly reports to the commission. Hot wallets crypto storage with live connections to the internet may not hold more than 2% of an exchange's total funds. While exchanges are mandated to have insurance for all assets in the event of a breach or hack, the SFC states. Anti-money laundering (AML) and Know Your Customer (KYC) procedures are cited as a chief concern, with the SFC saying exchanges must take steps to establish the true and full identity of each of its clients, and of each client's financial situation, investment experience and investment objectives. Upon the granting of a license, firms enter into the SFC regulatory sandbox, which the regulator says brings more exacting reporting and monitoring standards. The regulator also issued a warning Wednesday to providers of cryptocurrency-based futures products targeting Hong Kong citizens without the proper paperwork. The SFC said it has not licensed or authorized any person in Hong Kong to offer or trade virtual asset futures contracts to date and remains unlikely to grant a license or authorization to carry on a business in such contracts. Crypto derivative providers like BitMEX and OKEX already restrict access to their products in Hong Kong. Passed in November 2018 and updated this October, the SFC's first crypto licensing scheme, concerning funds that invest 10% or more of their portfolios in crypto, has only given the green light to one fund in the past year. Nervous Network targets November launch with $72 million token sale. Blockchain startup Nervous Network plans to launch its Lena blockchain next week, on the heels of securing $72 million through a token sale on CoinList. The company announced Wednesday that developers and miners will be able to participate and utilize its network on November 16, with fresh backing from China Merchants Bank International, CMBI, Polychain Capital, Blockchain Capital, Hashkey, Multicoin and Distributed Global supporting its efforts. The company initially sought to raise $50 million for the network, exceeding this amount through its three-week sale. Nervous declined to disclose the exact amounts of investment from each major investor. The mainnet will enable users to build applications on our blockchain without facing the trade-off between scalability and security, Nervous Network co-founder Kevin Wang said. Wang told CoinDesk the mainnet's two-layer structure allows users to build decentralized applications on a secure, public layer but actually run the applications on its second layer, promising unlimited scalability through this function. The company's new CKByte token entitles holders to storage space on the blockchain, acting as an incentive mechanism for miners and acting as a resource management tool. According to the token's official public offering statement, the company would use 23.5% of the initial token supply to encourage open source contributions and business partnerships. Wang said the mainnet could be used as the technical infrastructure for a variety of use cases ranging from decentralized finance platforms to assets tokenization. Nervous had developed applications for the Chinese banking giant CMBI even before the mainnet launch. There are certainly more opportunities to collaborate with other financial institutions to build DeFi applications after the launch, Wang said. The company has established its significant presence in the Chinese developers community as some of the core team members are among the earliest Ethereum developers in the country. Nervous previously secured $28 million in Series A funding last year. The financing round was led by Polychain and private equity giant Sequoia China. The fundraising was a private sale that guarantees 14% of the initial token distribution for the investors in 2019, Wang previously told CoinDesk. The company will use the proceeds to invest more in research and development to improve the network, and incentivize more miners and developers to use the network, according to Wang. IBM Ethical Mineral Sourcing Blockchain to debut in spring. Ford, Volkswagen, LG and Volvo plan to take a pilot project tracking cobalt during its refining process live in production next year. The Responsible Sourcing Blockchain Network, RSBN, an international consortium built on Hyperledger Fabric, announced Wednesday it had successfully completed a pilot project to protect against exploitative mining practices. The companies sent 1.5 tons of Congolese cobalt across three different continents over 5 months of refinement, clearing the way for the project to become operational in spring 2020. While Ford, Volkswagen and LG had already been a part of the project, Volvo joined Wednesday, according to a press release. RCS Global Group, the solutions auditors, testified that the pilot Cobalt met Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development (OECD) sourcing standards from its start in a Congolese mine, through its refinement in South Korea and ultimately to its target, an American Ford Motor Company plant. LG Chem, the largest Korean chemical company, developed the batteries. Cobalt components make up some 10 to 20% of the lithium-ion batteries carmakers favor, according to the Cobalt Institute. Martina Buckhauser, Volvo's head of procurement, said in a statement that the Swedish carmaker has always put a high priority on ethical mineral sourcing. This technology furthers that goal, she said, adding, "With blockchain technology, we can take the next step in ensuring full traceability of our supply chain and minimizing any related risks, in close collaboration with our suppliers." Expanding the supply chain. Dr. Nicholas Garrett, CEO of RCS Global Group, said in a statement that RSBN is hoping to improve global ethical supply chains and will build off the lessons learned. "We've reached significant new milestones as we've moved beyond testing, proving the merits of this coupled technology and assurance model can extend to a wide range of participants across every tier of the supply chain and to other minerals," he said. RSBN plans to add more battery minerals to its tracking platform, including lithium and nickel. From there, it will research ways to trace tungsten, tantalum, tin and gold. Garrett was optimistic for the future of the RSBN blockchain and his auditor's role, saying, "We expect significant positive social impact from our work." Binance to advise Ukraine government on upcoming crypto regulation. Malta-based cryptocurrency exchange Binance has agreed to help Ukraine prepare new rules for cryptocurrencies, as well as digitize the country's finances. Announced by the exchange Wednesday, Ukraine's Ministry of Digital Transformation has signed a Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, with Binance to work together on establishing the potential legal status of virtual assets and currencies in the country. The ministry was founded in September to supervise Ukraine's transition to a digital economy and online government services. Under the Mo, Binance and the ministry will start a joint working group to discuss future crypto regulation and the creation of a digital asset market. Binance will also help develop transparent and effective mechanisms for the transfer of rights to any virtual assets or currencies using blockchain technology, as well as beneficial conditions for investments and business in Ukraine, a press release provided to CoinDesk explains. Binance will meet with Ukrainian government officials during the upcoming visit of team to Kiev. In the announcement, Binance's CEO Changpeng CZ Zhao described the new agreement as being positive for Ukraine, saying, "The legalization of cryptocurrencies and corresponding adoption of progressive legislation in this sphere can become one of the key drivers in stimulating positive growth in the Ukrainian economy, as well as attract additional investments to the country." Regulation on the way? A group of Ukrainian parliament members and blockchain entrepreneurs recently published three draft bills to be introduced in the country's parliament soon, as one of the lawmakers, Oleksiy Shmirnetsky, posted on his Facebook page. "The legislation for the blockchain economy is approaching the finish line," Shmirnetsky wrote, making the drafts available, Ukrainian language only, for the public to review and comment. A number of comments, including some critical of the bill's phrasing, have accumulated on the draft's margins since they were posted. The Ministry of Digital Transformation is, however, optimistic about the prospects of the future laws. "At last, Ukraine is finally in a situation where the executive, legislative authorities and market have come to an understanding of the regulation of the Ukrainian cryptocurrency market," said Minister of Digital Transformation Mykhailo Fedorov in a statement. "The legislation," he suggested, "should be ready for introduction in Ukraine's parliament by the end of this year." Ultimately, the ministry intends to create a comfortable, competitive environment for the crypto industry in Ukraine, Fedorov said. "There's more on offer to Binance via the Mo than merely an advisory role, too. We open Ukraine to one of the largest cryptocurrency exchanges in the world and let Binance legally start their business here," Fedorov added. Party starters, stellar event sees frank discussion of crypto market makers. Mexico City. If a startup hopes to release a token without embarrassing itself in the early days, there is one important thing it should do: hire a market maker. That was the message from a panel Monday at Stellar's Meridian Conference in Mexico City. "Market makers provide this initial step where you can start trading," said Sergey Yusupov, the founder of Stellar infrastructure startup Apay. Thomas Scaria, a recent alum of payments firm Wire and who's now working on a stealth mode Ethereum startup, described market makers with a metaphor: "You want your cool friends to show up early to the party so it looks like something is happening," he said, adding, "They are kind of the party starters." Market making is widespread but generally discussed in hushed tones in the crypto space. When Blockstack disclosed in a filing with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission (SEC) last month that it contracted GSR Markets to provide liquidity for its STX token, it became one of the few startups to publicly acknowledge the practice. Crypto matures towards transparent relationship with market makers, Blockstack CEO Manib Ali said later on Twitter. Not to be confused with the fake volume industry, industry insiders say, market makers are a fixture in any mature financial market. They set up shop in very liquid markets, offering to always buy at a given price and sell at a slightly higher price. They make profits on that spread and aim for volumes that make the business worthwhile. While other buyers and sellers can also participate, market makers help to smooth out any gaps on either side of the order book. For a price. In order to participate in a market, though, a market maker needs a large quantity of the asset for its sell side, and they are not going to take that risk on their own for a brand new asset with no proven demand. That's why Monday's panelists argued startups should cover the cost of that risk. "Get your checkbook out," Scaria said. Scott Freeman of market maker JST Capital said that when his firm takes on a new client, it actually likes to do some consulting before it gets started. "We really approach it as a partnership," he said, explaining that it's important that his team understands the startup's community, the product it's bringing to market and the founder's expectations. Freeman also encourages token projects to think about market making as more than price support. If people need a token to use a product, that token needs to be easy to obtain, so it needs liquidity. View this as a marketing expense to some extent, he cautioned. This is the first piece of a very complex puzzle. And just like marketing, there's nothing that a market maker can do about a fundamentally bad product. Said Freeman. If people look at your project and don't have faith in it, they are not going to buy your token. 93 Days Dark, 8chan coder explains how blockchain saved his troll forum. The takeaway. Administrators at 8kun, the anarchic message board formerly known as 8chan, have been experimenting with blockchain and P2P technologies in an effort to build a website resistant to deplatforming and censorship. They found an ideologically aligned open-source blockchain to piggyback on, but the developers don't seem keen on protecting 8kun from activist attacks. Ron Watkins, the principal 8kun dev, plans to launch the mysterious Project Odin in an attempt to bolster the publicly accessible and hidden versions of his site. 8chan, the anarchic internet forum that disappeared in August, came back online this weekend as 8kun. This time, thanks to a decentralized web hosting network, it intends to stay online, no matter who its content offends. Following back-to-back shootings in El Paso, Texas and Dayton, Ohio, hosting service Cloudflare severed ties with 8chan, blaming its raucous community of anonymous posters for inciting the violence. 8chan has repeatedly proven itself to be a cesspool of hate, said Cloudflare's CEO Matthew Prince on the day it terminated service. Other major hosting providers, including Tencent and Alibaba in China, followed. For these corporate giants, 8chan amounted to little more than a pungent mix of pornography, extremism, and race baiting, and hence not a brand with which they wanted to be associated. Yet while its many detractors saw 8chan as a vortex of fringe politics and Looney Tune conspiracy theories, others defended it as a beacon of free speech in an age of political correctness and corporate media consolidation. Alongside the terrorist manifestos, there were WikiLeaks-style document dumps. And the founders didn't give up. We are at the forefront of the deplatforming war and developing tools and techniques that other websites can use when they too get deplatformed, Ron Watkins, an 8chan admin, told CoinDesk. Unlike other platforms that have faced controversy for banning relatively innocuous speech, 8chan features a full commitment to the promise of the First Amendment, site owner Jim Watkins, Ron's father, told the House Committee on Homeland Security in a closed-door session on September 4. At the same time, it has worked responsibly with law enforcement agencies when unprotected speech is discovered on its platform. What follows is an inside account of 8chan's rebirth, based on interviews with Ron Watkins. It also includes interviews with Frederick Brennan, the now excommunicated and deeply critical creator of 8chan who quit after playing a key role in developing its blockchain solutions. While the ClearNet, or publicly available, version of the site is down intermittently, and unlikely to survive an onslaught of continued compromising attacks, Watkins described a strategy to rebuild 8chan through decentralized workarounds instead of relying on consolidated services that become unusable in the face of controversy. Loki. 3 months after going dark, 8chan's developers turned their backs on traditional internet service providers, ISPs, and found a permissionless, decentralized and censorship-resistant way to host discussions online. Chief among these is an open protocol called Lokinet that will soon be connected to a blockchain. The network, based on a fork of the Monero cryptocurrency called Loki, functions like the privacy-protecting Tor network. Lokinet provides a pathway for hosting web content including decentralized marketplaces, forums and other web applications that is resistant to censorship and deplatforming. Any website accessed through the Loki top-level domain, TLD, is passed through an onion-style router that bounces user data packets, necessary to surf the web, through a distributed network of nodes to obfuscate users' destinations and origins. Loki is open for anyone to use and the nonprofit that maintains the network was made aware of 8kun's intentions only 4 days before launch. Watkins was clear that 8kun has not partnered with the Loki development team, but instead is using the network that they set up and made available for anybody. Simon Harmon, director of the Loki nonprofit based in Melbourne, Australia, said he was surprised that the network withstood the influx of new users, many of whom likely downloaded the software to support 8chan's relaunch. Getting several thousand users to try out experimental software, that's a plus, he said. Since the Lokinet system went live in 2018, there have been 5,271 downloads of its routers, of which 3,600 happened since September 24. Watkins said he set up a few Lokinet addresses and front ends that connect to the network and service the website. Nick Lim, CEO of Vanwa Tech, also built a content delivery network on Lokinet to serve 8kun's service node apps, snaps, private websites or web services similar to Tor's hidden services and provide acceptable data speeds. We chose Lokinet because, while still experimental, it is already a technical powerhouse, Watkins said. However, over the weekend, an influx of friendly and hostile users flooded 8kun and nearly crippled the website. To be clear, Loki, named after a mischievous mythological character, did not choose 8kun. And as antagonistic parties attack the message board served by Lokinet, lead developer Jeff Becker said he doesn't want to get involved. I have no intention of trying to get rid of 8kun or shut down the network, I am just worried that it is quite easy to attack the network in this early state, and someone will probably do it, but it certainly won't be me, he said. Activist attacks. As it stands, 8chan creator turned apostate Brennan has tweeted a few potential weaknesses that activists could exploit to take down or slow the clearnet and hidden darknet versions of the site. These include a coordinated distributed denial of service, DDoS, or flooding a website with unwanted requests. 8kun uses a rather ancient codebase with several vulnerabilities easily checked by anyone on GitHub, said GR3Y, a web developer who goes by at L33Tagai on Twitter. A vocal group of opposition hackers is planning attacks on Twitter and Internet Relay Chat, IRC, he told CoinDesk. Like Brennan, GR3Y is no friend of 8kun. After Cloudflare dumped 8chan, the two led a campaign lobbying other service providers to knock it off their platforms. They rallied an army of anonymous posters to alert companies about 8chan, Jim Watkins, and his shady history, in GR3Y's words. Jim, or rather, Pol, has plenty of enemies, especially far-left activists. I am not affiliated with any of these people, but I know they exist, GR3Y said, referring to the subset of users who post the edgiest content. Pol is short for politically incorrect, the ironic name of a message board on predecessor 4chan. Only 20 minutes after 8kun launched, activists began DDoS attacks that are currently interrupting 8kun's service, he pointed out. While Loki bills itself as a decentralized protocol, Victor Schpack, chief technology officer for Visible Magic, a blockchain consultancy, thinks adoption will be a hurdle for the relatively immature platform. What makes Tor a serviceable, reliable and secure router is the number of nodes that support the service, he noted. The limited number of nodes running Loki will make 8kun highly visible on the network, and vulnerable to government crackdowns, Schpack said. Plus, while it was in the testing phase, the developers disconnected the relay from the Loki blockchain. Watkins said he lost confidence in Lokinet, and Becker, after the attacks. Jeff's actions as the lead dev do not align well with his project's stated mission, Watkins said. User and community-built nodes can sustain 8kun on Lokinet with or without the Lokinet dev team's approval, he said. Odin. Watkins said he has another card up his sleeve if Lokinet proves unworkable. Project Odin, named for the ancient Norse god of wisdom, Loki's blood brother in mythology, may provide a way to leverage 8kun's users to run front-end nodes that support the website's decentralized back-end. Watkins suggests Odin will supplement the other models of security in his plan by enabling cross-platform interoperability, a shared user base and immutability. Activists might be able to temporarily deplatform 8kun.net, but can they deplatform 10,000 mirrors maintained by the community? Said Watkins. He claims to be on the ninth iteration of the project. However, no previous versions of Odin were published and only traces of its development are available online. There are potential liabilities with having users run their own front ends, Watkins explained. With details scarce, those following the project are left to speculate. Justin Johnson, an IT security specialist in North Dakota and a frequent visitor of the CHANS, has high hopes. "This is the future of open source, which maintains the values of openness and accessibility," he said. GR3Y is less sanguine. "The technology seems way past Ron's pay grade at this point. If they're able to get 8KUN available on ClearNet in a permanent capacity, I will be very surprised," the developer said. Building a censorship-resistant network in the face of fevered opposition is certainly a tough assignment. But Odin Isn't Watkins' first rodeo. SusuCoin. In 2018, when 8chan was still alive and alternately horrifying or thrilling people, Watkins and Brennan began developing a blockchain solution that would become known as SusuCoin. Motivated by a fear of corporate consolidation of online publishing, the Susu team created a blockchain protocol where anyone can securely voice their thoughts and opinions without fear of reprisals, bans, or deletions, according to the SusuCoin white paper. Watkins hoped that SusuCoin would develop into a substrate from which a whole ecosystem of censorship-resistant platforms would spring forth, beyond the reach of authoritarian governments, censorious corporations, and overzealous moderators. A blockchain-based message board, SusuCoin amounted to a Bitcoin fork that supports the exchange of small blobs of text, according to extensive CoinDesk interviews with Brennan. On June 26, 2018, the SusuCoin team created a Genesis block. The idea was to use outputs created during cryptocurrency transactions to archive message board posts. While the code was based on the main Bitcoin protocol, it included features from the splinter cryptocurrency known as Bitcoin Cash. Brennan refers to the protocol he built, Sumo, Storage Utility Memory Object, as a slight improvement on Bitcoin Cash's memo system. Like its namesake wrestlers, Sumo wasn't pretty. "It is a technical wreck and not at all anonymous," Brennan wrote in an email. Under the new system, users would have to pay to post. Because the messages were limited by SusuCoin's 512-byte op_return field, a 100 kilobytes image would need approximately 195 transactions, totaling pennies in value, to go through. By tying messages to transactions, Brennan argued SusuCoin was part of a broader attempt by Watkins to monetize 8kun. In fact, prior to 8chan's deplatforming, Jim Watkins implemented a King of the Shekel feature on the website, which enabled users to pay in Susu to promote their posts. But 8chan users were not interested in having to download new software or pay fees to post, so Susu garnered almost no users, according to Julian Field, co-host of the QAnon Anonymous podcast, which debunks conspiracy theories from online forums. The blockchain has long been touted as a boon for come-what-may freethinkers, but belief in its powers is hardly universal. Blockchains are shitty, slow, and expensive databases that do not scale well at all for something like user-generated content across billions of data points, said Andrew Torba, CEO of Gab, a social network that prioritizes free speech over mainstream sensitivities and was itself deplatformed amid a media controversy. Legal issues. Ironically, SusuCoin's unpopularity and technological weakness may have saved 8chan from legal jeopardy, namely the consequences of preserving illicit content on an immutable ledger. Though billed as the world's online free speech haven, 8chan imposed some limits on what users could post. Moderators would remove content that violated the Digital Millennium Copyright Act, DMCA, and actively policed child pornography. However, the immutable SusuChain would have made these workarounds harder to engineer. "Whatever is written into the blockchain will stay there, and there is no easy way to remove anything short of a hard fork," Watkins said. He added that he designed Susu without the ability to easily post anything beyond text, to make it harder for ne'er-do-wells to add porn. While the First Amendment broadly protects free speech, there are exclusions to these constitutional covers. True threats or statements expressing serious intent to commit acts of violence against individuals or groups are not protected, for instance. For liability to stick, one would, for example, need to prove a direct connection between a user's post and an 8kun employee, or that 8kun knew of specific harmful behavior on its platform and chose not to report it. Essentially, that 8chan had exercised editorial control over its contents, which can be difficult to prove in a court of law, said Nicole Ligon, lecturing fellow at Duke University School of Law. Despite this, Watkins doesn't see Susu as an abject failure and is looking at how to integrate the blockchain into Project Odin. Chan, reborn. As 8kun's lights flickered on for the first time Saturday, Watkins told Twitter followers that the new rollout would take a few days to become stable. "That first wave of visitors totally crushed our servers," said Watkins. "And that's not the only issue 8kun faces. While the platform now exists out of the reach of wantonly censorious corporations, anyone can attack an open-source protocol." Locus developers cited denial of service (DOS) as a particular threat, though there are multiple vectors of attack. Worse for Watkins, since Loki is still in a test phase, the developers aren't actively attempting to prevent a torpedoing of the network, preferring to remain neutral. "The risk is that if we cannot defend against the attack, then our presence will be on and off until we figure out how to defend it," Watkins said. While he's working on technical defenses now, he knows that after deployment, he will have to react to the next attack. Still, Watkins is optimistic. "I am leading a small ragtag team of idealists, doing their best to bring a small-scale discussion board platform back online amidst a bizarrely unprecedented defamation campaign," he said. "Where this represents just one battle, by developing tools and techniques that other websites can use if they get deplatformed, he thinks he'll win the war." Through this process, Watkins has begun to doubt that blockchain technology can save free speech, let alone save 8kun. Instead, he thinks it could play a role in building a defensive infrastructure. "Right now, all the blockchain-based platform experiments still impose too much technical friction for users, such that normal people won't bother with them," said Justin Murphy, an independent scholar who studies fringe online political groups. "The answer probably lies in maligned sites going dark, whether that be through Tor, Loki, I2P or ZeroNet," Watkins said. "What matters on the deepnet is that large public corporations are not in control and don't have a say in what content is online or not," he said. 8kun's ongoing attempts to resurface against the tide of technocrats, media and politicians might be the last time centralized authorities have the ability to shut down a website based on moral rather than legal decisions. Now the tech just has to work. This concludes our edition for today. We want to thank again Paycademy, the first business school to learn payments and fintech, for their support. You can find more information on their website at paycademy.com. We hope you enjoyed it and see you tomorrow for our next edition.